Hey, what's good?
What's up, world? What's happening?
We're in the streets.
The streets of Anaheim?
The streets of Anaheim. We're at the convention. You hear pulleys. You hear all kind of crazy shit that you should not be hearing. You hear forklifts.
Yeah, it's a little... They closed the door, at least, so it's not, like, cold and loud now.
You gonna hear some futsal? You gonna hear some... soccer balls?
We are right next to the futsal court, so if they start playing, it's over for us.
Yeah. But wait, who are we?
Oh, what's up? We're Shea Butter FC.
We're a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning and moisturizing your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women. And we did not introduce ourselves, did we?
Yeah, we did. Well, okay, I'm Sky, I'm Fly, I'm straight out the A where the players play, and I do my thing every which way.
That's what's up. What's up, world? My name is Sills, VA, all day, two up, two down, chilling in sunny Los Angeles, and right now, Anaheim, California.
Word. So this is a very short clip for several clips of multiple interviews. We're here at the U.S. Soccer
Coaches
Convention.
Got it.
Wow. Man,
you did it. I'm proud of you.
For 2024 in Anaheim, California. That is 40 minutes outside of where I live.
30, anyway. If you drive fast.
Yeah, 30 if you drive fast. I got here at 20. We ain't going to talk about that, though. We ain't going to ask questions. Shout out to Lyft. But anyway, so we're going to have a bunch of interviews this episode. And then also you're going to hear the NWSL draft. The NWSL draft is literally tomorrow. Today is Thursday. It is chaos. The exhibit hall ain't even open yet and it's loud as hell. So
it is. The media rope just opened up, I think, officially, so it should be popping here pretty soon. Some people around the y'all might know, same with the exhibitors, but yeah, it's a crowded room and people are trickling in and it's gonna be a fun weekend.
Yeah, so in the background you might hear Ebony Navidad.
She's on manager duty. Okay,
I was gonna say some other stuff, but then she was gonna fight me, and I gotta be able to get home.
Yeah, y'all.
Then she still got my car keys, anyway, and my house keys.
She's all right, so please chill out. Thank you.
But anyway, we're gonna have all these interviews. We're gonna talk about the draft. We're gonna talk to some coaches. We're gonna talk to entities in the soccer space. Yeah. We have no idea who's gonna show up. We do kind of sort of have some idea, but you gonna hear.
We have some things planned, but as is our way, we also have some things that are unplanned and will be spontaneous, and those are the fun ones. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no.
Yeah. All right.
We should be.
Oh, yeah. We're recording. Like, what's good?
All right. What's up, world?
What's up, world? We're here. We're out here.
We're here at the Coaches Convention, United Soccer Coaches Convention in Anaheim. So we'll have guests coming fast and quick and some really cool and important people. And we have
a legend.
One of those people. Oh, legend.
Wow.
El Presidente, if you will. We're here with Amanda Vandenbort, president of the USL Super League, which we're very excited about. It starts in August. Oh, yeah. She has a lot of buttons and she enjoys playing with them way too much. Starting in August.
August, yep.
How are we feeling?
Pumped, absolutely psyched for it.
Okay, so I have quick notes. I'm going to make sure I have all the markets. Do we have North Carolina, Tampa, Spokane? What are our other markets?
Oh my gosh, you're going to run me through all the markets.
I thought, but she's
Yeah, we got Tampa Bay. Did you say Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Carolina, Lexington, Washington, D.C. We got... where am I going? Did I say Lexington?
Right here.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
It's okay.
Off teams this whole day. And now I'm saying them all 10 times over. You know what? That's 10 times more love I have for all my teams. Spokane. And then we got, listen, the way we look at it, we're looking at 24s, 25s, 26s. Yeah. We've announced 14.
Yeah.
Brackets. Oh, yeah. Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
Phoenix, Tucson, Oakland.
D.C., correct.
D.C. Yep. Yeah, D.C. So we're really looking at not only the launch year of 2024,
right,
but also that pathway to growth in the years to come. Because not only immediate viability, something we're thinking a lot about, but the long-term sustainability of the USL Super League and ensuring that this league is not only kicks off with a bang in August, but is around for many, many Augusts to come.
Right. Okay, so I'll do it this way, right? Obviously, we're talking about sustained development, growth, things of that nature, but what is your biggest hope for the first year?
Oh, my gosh. We gotta fill stadiums, right? I'm excited to create a fan experience in the stadiums where, you know, people are excited to be there, support their teams, support their players, get to know the players, create and build relationships with the fans. I mean, I'm like really excited about that. I'm also excited for the players who will now have the opportunity to be pros in all these new markets, new teams, new jobs.
Okay.
New jobs.
And so this is a fully, just for the people listening, right, we obviously want to plug USL. We think you all do great work.
Thank you.
This is a fully professional league?
Fully pro. Okay. Fully pro. We kick off August 2024.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're on the international calendar. So we'll go August to June, and take a winter break. So what that does is it allows our players to play on their national team windows in the summer, the Olympics, the World Cup, the international tournaments, so they can then feature more time with their club when, you know, when our season is ongoing. But then their national team call-ups don't conflict.
Absolutely. And would you have international players?
Yeah, definitely. We'll have international players. We'll have American players. We'll have, a sweet mix of them and hopefully international fans and domestic fans, too, and create an environment for you know, women's soccer in just a new and unique way.
Okay. Wow. Well, do you have a...
I was going to say, you have, smaller markets. Are you looking for the different version of culture? Because in some of these markets, you have teams that are kind of established, but bringing that different side of a culture. Because I know we always try to highlight that there are also the lower leagues, but this is going to be fully professional on a different calendar. Are you looking forward to the different types of culture that have existed in some of these smaller cities coming through?
Yeah. I mean, it's a mix. Our cities are a mix, right? I just realized I didn't mention Dallas, huge city. Right?
Yeah,
Tampa Bay,
and a big soccer, soccer location. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But even within Dallas, even within Tampa, you're going to find different cultures, different communities want to come together and support, you know, women's soccer. But I think that a fan in Lexington, Kentucky, or Spokane, Washington, loves soccer just as much, and should have opportunity to go support their professional women's team in their market, and that. The size of your city doesn't dictate the size of your fandom.
Absolutely. So let's do it this way, right? Some teams obviously are established. Some teams will be new. Do we know any of the players that will be?
Not yet.
I was going to be who should we be looking
for? I know. I'm trying
to break news.
Get it out there. I know we're a little ahead of schedule, so I'm always trying to get the scoop.
No, it's good. Ask those questions.
No shams. I'm not shams, but yeah.
I wish we were in a position to announce players, but I can tell you it has been. We've announced a couple of coaches.
Okay.
So you can imagine we're out in the marketplace talking to players right now, and it's an exciting time. I'm hearing so much buzz.
Well, you don't have a draft.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, there are drafts. So it's the European system.
And players, because we're not a central entity, the players can negotiate with whatever club they want.
Oh, so, no. Wow.
And no cap, really?
No salary cap.
Sarah.
It's different. Yeah, we'll have a minimum. Salary and some minimum standards, of course, for the players. But, yeah, no max, and you can negotiate with whatever club you want.
And are there some owners that people would know in the league or that, you know, people can hitch their wagon to? I believe is Christina Uncle.
Yeah, Christina Uncle. You guys know Christina.
I mean, listen, hardest working ref in the game.
Yeah, hardest working woman.
She's
on circles around me, Christina Uncle. She is unbelievable. Yeah. She's here tomorrow.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, okay. Get her on the show.
Okay.
Honestly,
our community will love that. They're all big Christina Uncle fans. Yeah, we're big Christina Uncle fans.
She's the best. Me
she
too.
Helps explain a lot to me because I don't know.
Can we start the Christina Uncle fan club? Like, I think
I know a few people. Yeah. People don't often say that about referees, so that's pretty.
That's true. That's true. And I'm a coach, so I can relate to that. But I have a special place in my heart now for referees. It is not an easy job, and I think it's one of the biggest risks that we run in American soccer that we don't have enough qualified referees or referees with some experience and knowledge. So it's something that we're thinking a lot about at the Super League, or at the USL. I think holistically, how do we identify and develop referee talent, especially women, So in the W League, like, how can we leverage, and listen, this isn't just the USL, the yeah. W League, like the UWS and WPSL, how do we leverage these pre-professional ecosystems right. yes. where you have women who are players at the elite level, they're college players, like, how can we make leverage those summer months when the players are with us to get them licensed as a referee, okay. get them licensed okay. as a coach or credentialed as a coach when we have their attention for this period of time, and then go back into their college or go back into their hometown and get games right. so they can ref, they can coach, nice. They can get experience and build up so that when they're done with their college career, 70% of our W League players are collegiate, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then they graduate college and boom, they got a coaching license. Boom, they got a referee perfect. License, whatever it is. So
yeah.
I am going to speak this into existence that we can support the federation and the development of referees right. through our pre-professional women's leagues and ensure that we have amazing women who want to ref and who are great at refing into the future. And Christina's been an amazing mentor to me in thinking about how to develop referees. And I think it's something we're all thinking a lot about.
Amazing. We're not going to keep you too much longer because you're very popular.
Oh, I can stay here all day. This is fun.
Absolutely. But hey, we can have you back before the week is over.
That's true.
For sure. We can have multiple yeah. conversations.
So, yeah.
I would like to ask, right, for the fan who may have been introduced to soccer, particularly women's soccer, either through the NWSL or through international clubs, I think particularly European clubs obviously have a lot of pull. Why should they become USL Super League?
Yeah, listen, I first of all, like, I'm a huge fan of the NWSL. I'm a huge fan of MLS. I'm a huge fan of soccer. Like, I'm a huge fan of the Women's Super League in England and all the leagues, right? So, and all our fandom looks and feels different. And I right. think this, you know, and there's no way to you know, there's no judgment about who you're a fan of or why you're a fan, right? So, for us, I think the USL Super League offers something different. We've talked about some of the things that are different. We're in different cities, different markets. The way we're set up and organized is really aligned with the global game. I think you're going to see a lot of fans' favorite players coming into our league. We're going to take care of the players, make sure that their training and playing environments are top of the line so that they can be the Division I highest level
right.
professional player. Within the Super League, and I think the level of play, the quality of play, the quality of the fan environment is going to be something that people won't want to miss out on.
Okay, and my last question, or I don't know.
Go ahead.
My last question, are you pushing for some kind of competition between the leagues?
Yeah, thank you. Definitely.
Okay,
let's go.
Thank you.
Let's
US
go.
US Open Cup. This isn't just between the leagues. This is like, I would love US soccer to have a US Open Cup for women.
Yep, right. Yep.
And so that's all the leagues, right? That's the pre-professional leagues. That's the pro leagues. It's the calendar is really challenging.
Yeah, right.
Because the pre-pros play in the summer.
Right.
WSL goes March to November, and then we go August to May, so our like periodization, like when we're fit and when we're out of season, is a lot different, and so there's certain advantages that come into play from a competition standpoint.
Okay.
But that is not something that I think should hold us back in any way. I think that should actually fire us up to create something that right. aligns across us, and I think the fans would love it.
Yes.
I think the players would love it, and particularly on our continent, we need to create games of consequence because players want to play games that matter. And the more games of consequence that we can create, the better our players will be. And we will go back to winning the Women's World Cup in the future. But it's going to take putting players in pressure situations
right, right.
on a consistent basis where they're practicing scoring penalty kicks under pressure in big games consistently.
Right, right, right.
So that when we get on the big stage and we have to do it, they've experienced that and they can manage that pressure. Right?
Right.
So I firmly believe whether it's a U.S. Open Cup, whether it's some other amalgamation that works in our region, in our country, we have to, the basis of what I believe for soccer in our country, for the players and for the fans, is games of consequence.
Right, right.
That matter,
right.
that people care about.
Can we at least have like a week of celebration and then, you know, with the cup? Because, yeah.
Do you want it to be a cup that they can drink out of? Is that what you're
saying? I mean, trophy, I want, like oh, whatever the crystal, whatever, sponsored by them, whatever, Tiffany's.
You're not going to drink out of a Tiffany.
Well, you know, well, whatever. Or at least can we, whatever kinds of music, whatever kind of vibes, whatever. I'll be there. I'm ready.
Yeah, that was a great way to end this because we're huge proponents of that.
You guys can bring the vibes. You bring the music.
Let us bring the music.
We have an open call. We will be there.
We will be there. We'll be turked up.
We will also be there for.
We can commentate too.
We'll be there for Super.
I love it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think I'll sneak up to.
Well, also, if you could get an All Star game too, we'll be there.
Yeah, that's interesting. An All Star game, huh? I like that idea.
Let the world meet the talent. Huh?
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, cool.
All right,
yeah,
well, cool. El Presidente, we will not keep you. We will let you.
You guys are great.
We'll have you back on for sure. We always want to talk about everything that you're doing, the league is doing. We're really excited for August, so
yeah,
we'll be around.
Yeah, we'll have you guys there.
Yeah,
and as we build, we've got 8 months now till the kick. So
yeah.
Hopefully, I'd love to come back and visit you and share with everyone. Like as we're building, we're gonna have some big milestones coming up. And I'd love to come on, anytime and share and
yes,
and
please.
Share with you guys. We can make this a recurring event. So
yes.
Let's do that.
Quarterly, monthly, bi-monthly.
There you go. Because
we're serious. We what y'all are doing. So it's really cool. It's really dope.
Thank you.
Y'all gonna do it the right way. So
we believe in multiple pathways. So we're very excited.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. I love what you guys are doing too. And I believe in multiple podcasts.
Let's go.
There you go. All right, Amanda. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda.
Let's
go. Welcome back, world. We're here at the Coaches Convention on Media Row, and we have a very cool guest with us, Coach Sean Nahas from the North Carolina Courage.
Hey, hello, how are you doing?
Oh, good, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm good, pretty good. Pretty good. I know, you're limited on time, so we just wanted to talk for a few minutes. Obviously, the draft is tomorrow, so just getting a few of your feelings. So our first question is, this is your second draft, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what is your approach as a team going into this draft? What are you sort of looking for?
Yeah, I think for us, it's about really looking at our roster, seeing areas we can improve on or add depth to, also seeing the talent pool that's coming out in relation to the draft picks that we currently have. The interesting thing about the draft is there's so many people that want to make moves and deals, and so we're keeping our ears open to everything. But we want to look at it's a really good draft. It's a really good draft. But there's, we also want to look at ways that maybe we can improve without going through the draft too. So, but we look at the balance of our roster and see areas that we can improve on.
Okay. So this is your second draft.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to, doing the second iteration? And I guess, are there some things you're going to do differently this year based on what you experienced in the first draft last year?
Yeah. We're a lot more prepared, I would say. Going into it takes a little bit of time to get used to. And so we did a lot of scouting with the staff. Nathan and Emma, Vic, and Fabrice have done a great job of really scouting college players and putting a profile together of players. And then we start to rank them down. And so we feel we're a lot more prepared so that if we do end up using the picks, that we feel we know the best area we want to go for the best available player at those moments, regardless of position. But we feel that the studies that we've done on the players, speaking with college coaches, speaking with the actual players, get to know them a little bit, get a feel of who they are as people and what they're looking for to make sure we're the right fit. These are all things that we haven't done in the past.
Very cool. So one of the big things about the Courage last year, you all decided to play possession-based football in a transitional league. What sort of led you to that? And then, again, in terms of building a roster, sort of what are you looking for? And is that maybe how you're going to continue to play football?
It's the only way I know.
Okay.
It's the only way I know. And, it's interesting. Someone, Nathan, who's my assistant coach, one of my assistant coaches, was with me at the academy. And we were just talking one time before I became head coach. I was like, if you ever became head coach, would this be what you want to do in terms of how we want to play? I said, I don't know any other way we're going to do it. And I think it's just a matter of having a belief in how you see the game should be played. And then you lay down, you look backwards, and you say, okay, this is how we want to see us play. And then how do you implement and put together a game model and a style of play so that now you can go get the players that suit that rather than bring players in and hope that it works out. So that's why we were able to bring in the players that we did, the Menakas, the Roomies, But then if you look at players like KK and Ryan, their development over the year was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I think the players enjoyed it. I think it was fun for fans to watch.
Yeah, it was real fun.
But that's the only way I know. When I'm sitting on the bench, I want to be entertained, and that's what I want the fans to do as well.
Awesome. And one more question. So for the 2024 season, I guess, what are the big goals? Of course, winning the Shield, winning the playoffs. But what are you expecting from the team in the upcoming year?
Yeah, I mean, we're still figuring out our roster. Obviously, we lose a big piece in Emily. We have a plan in place, so don't worry. I think last year we laid the tracks down to who we wanted to be. Now we know who we want to be. I think now the group has a real good belief in who we want to be, so we're coming in ahead of the game. And now it's just how do we evolve, right? It's people got started to see what we started to do, and you know we were really happy with all of our possession stats and leading the league in so many different areas and the way we played. But we want to have a little bit more functionality in changing how we play sometimes too, so it doesn't become too predictable. So we want to evolve. We want to continue to teach our players. We as coaches have to continue to evolve. But we want to be more threatening in the attacking third, obviously without Caro for a bit. We all saw what a big piece she was and being the best player in the league. And it was interesting with Caro. She wanted to play the 10. And then she wanted to play the 9. And I said, it's not working, kid. It ain't working. Not because you're not good enough, but the way we want to play, I promise you, the way we want to play, your qualities will come out.
Yep.
And she's that, yeah. So
yeah, one MVP. So hey,
it's
a pretty good football player.
Yeah,
good football.
We just want to see continued growth. That's what we're about.
Okay, this was up.
Great. Well, we look forward to seeing you. I really enjoyed watching North Carolina.
Yeah,
last year they were really fun, really different. You all took chances, did something really different, and you have some fantastic players that we're fans of. So yeah, looking forward to see what you all do this year.
Yeah, I appreciate your guys' support. What you guys do for women's football, I think the more the better. And you know, I've said this to other people that I've done interviews with when they ask about investment in women's football. And my whole thing is the risk is not by investing in women's football. The risk is when you don't invest in women's football. And it's what they're, people say, well, it's what they're owed. No, it's what they've earned. It's what they deserve. And hopefully people such as yourselves that continue to do these things will get the support that's needed to help the, because it's both on and off the field. So I thank you guys for the support you give to the women's game.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for stopping.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.